Christmas is over, you may have noticed. A new year has begun, and many of us have our sights set on getting back in the regular flow of life. But the question is how back to regular do you want to go? We've spent the Advent season preparing for and renewing our awareness of the rebirth of the Christ in each of us. That's not something I think we want to forget. Those of us who were here last week, we released our thoughts and habits and beliefs that weren't working anymore in our traditional burning bowl service. And now, amongst our drifting back towards our usual routines, we have a Whitestone service, a long-standing tradition in Unity churches. And it is a call to make a change for the better amongst our routines. And in a moment, I'm going to explain why Whitestone service and what all that means. But, you know, I have to title all my talks, right? And I don't know, some of you probably don't pay any attention to what I write, except for whoever's making the CDs so they can get it on there. And Sheila, who puts it in the newspaper. Anyway, today I decided to call today's talk Unwritten. Because even though today we choose a stone and we will have hopefully arise within us something to write on that stone, the truth is the future is unwritten. And we get to decide what gets written on the future. And it's an exciting and scary thing. And you know, here at the beginning of the year, we make lots of ideas about what we want to do, but I think having just a word or two, an idea, something that we can really bring ourselves around is that grounding idea for us for the year or beyond. And so one time I was at a Whitestone service, and it wasn't clear to me what I was going to write, and I sat there, and most people were done, and that's fine. If you don't get it right away, totally okay. Sometimes it doesn't show up until a week later, and it's the right one, and that's awesome. So I'm sitting there, and I'm da-da-da-da-da-da, and then the music they played was that song, Unwritten. The future's still unwritten, and I was like, that's it! Because this was like right when I was near the end of my time in seminary, and I had no idea what was coming next. And I certainly didn't. Wow. a couple years later, you go, wow, I certainly didn't know what was next. And so that was a really powerful word for me that year, because it would remind me that the future is completely unwritten, and I get to co-create whatever that is. And so I think there's a lot of excitement in that idea that we write the book. So, on to Whitestones. So, why Whitestones? Let's put this in context. This ceremony was originally inspired by a quote from the book of Revelation, which you will probably, this will be the only time you'll probably hear me quote Revelation. but this is why, this is a traditional service. It's been used a lot, and this is a great quote. It's from 2:17. Let anyone who has an ear listen. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name, and no one knows except the one who receives it. So this passage has several actions, that's our part, and several promises. First is listen. Whoever has an ear, listen. And this is like our meditation time, when we allow our thoughts permission to drift away and we don't focus on any particular thing, insights come to us. And don't worry if it takes a while for insights to come. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. When they're right to show up, they do, and it's excellent. Just wait till you see how I want to rearrange the back office area. But you have to give space for the chitter chatter to just say, okay, that's nice. Just That's not what we're doing right now. Refocus. The next thing in this quote is to conquer. And now, this is not about an outer battle that we're conquering something. This is an inner battle. This is our emergence of our true self from behind any false beliefs or personas or habits or whatever that we have that we stand up to say, this is who I am, but it's not. So we're conquering that need or desire to have that protective safety line in front of us. This is to embrace and surrender being our highest self. And then part two, there are promises. And the first is that there's hidden manna. And you may remember that manna is the food given to Moses and his people while they were wandering in the wilderness. And the rule was is you could gather as much as you needed for the day, but overnight it would spoil. Unless, of course, it was the Sabbath and you ordered, got enough for that day and the Sabbath. But that was it. It was available to them, always available to them. And so this is really important to remember that spiritual nourishment that we need is available. You just have to go look for it. Just like the Israelites went outside and there was the manna. It's that simple. You have to say, okay, I'm ready for the manna, God. Thanks. The next promise is the gift of a white stone. Back in the time that Jesus was teaching, and someone had served time in prison or in bondage of any kind, they were given a white stone when they were released. And this served as a symbol that a person had done their time and then had been given passage to live with all the rights of a free man or woman. Now, why somebody couldn't go pick up their own stone on their own is something I still haven't found out the answer to. Maybe by next year. But, so this is a symbol of freedom. Freedom of bondage. And we don't have to be in jail or enslaved to know that sometimes we may have experienced our own type of bondage, that we've enslaved ourselves to an idea or a commitment of a responsibility that really isn't working for us. And the last promise is the promise of a new name. There are many name changes in the Bible, and they represent the rebirth of spirit in a person that is being renamed. It's an outer expression of an inner change. Saul becomes Paul. Jacob becomes Israel. Sarai becomes Sarah. Abram becomes Abraham. And the list goes on. This new name is known only to you, though you may certainly share it as if you wish, if that's what's called to you. And you know, when you create this stone, there's a lot of things you can do with it. Some people put it in their pocket or in their handbag and they keep it with them as a reminder for a while. Some people I've seen put it on their little altar space, or they put it on their desk at work, or they put it on their whatever it is, something that will remind them wherever is the right precious spot for you. I don't necessarily suggest putting it on your dashboard because, you know, loose rocks in your car, not the best idea. But if you super glue it down or something, you could do that. So in recap, in meditation, we listen and our true self comes forth. We receive spiritual nourishment, freedom from whatever binds us, and a new name. So today we'll be going back into our silence time and see if this new name or word comes forth. Sometimes it comes forth in an instant knowing. Maybe it's already banging around in your mind right now. And sometimes it keeps, like I said, it'll take a couple hours, could take a couple days, and it'll become clear. This time of year, many people make resolutions or promises to make changes in their life. And on the outset, on the outside, that's a good idea. It's perfectly fine in concept. But what I believe is often lacking in these grand plans for transformation is the inner transformation that is required to really make the change stick. Instead of a resolution, we need a revolution. Some folks, some friends of ours, were getting ready to host this big event at their house in a few months. But they had lots of projects and stuff to get ready for this big event that they were going to have in their house. And so in preparation, they took off some framing around an exterior door that had some damage. Oops, because what they found underneath was a lot more damage and rot. And a responsible homeowner knows that following the damage to find the extent of the damage and the rot and getting it fixed is required for the long-term health of the home, right? But and this is what they did, even though the event date was creeping up quite quickly, not so much creeping. But they could have said, oops, let's just put a new board over there, paint that, and call it good, because we don't got time to deal with that. Pretend nothing's wrong. And too often, I hear the results of people doing this in their own lives, right? We know to do this for our homes, but sometimes we forget that we need to do this in our own lives. So we had the burning bowl ceremony, and you can certainly do a releasing ceremony on your own if you weren't here with us last week or any time it's necessary. And this burning bowl service represents getting rid of whatever is old or rotted or damaged. It's getting rid of that damaged part of our house that's not supporting where we're at now. And the white stone represents freedom from these habits, beliefs, feelings, whatever is not a good foundation for your home. And on the white stone, we write a word that is meaningful to you. This word is your new name. It could be freedom. It could be joy, love, wisdom. What is the word that is the new theme of your life, the new foundation? And this completes the cycle. It's a cycle, like I said last week, that you will have to keep working. Sometimes it takes time to dig out all those non-working bits, the rotted or not working bits, and dig them out. And it takes a while to fill it back up. My friends were putting on the final molding in their house the day before the event. There might actually have been a few things that happened on the day of the event. It was kind of an all call. Everybody come on down and help us do stuff. These things take time, and it's okay that they take time. We just get back on the trail, stay focused. And the great thing, you see, is with when we have this inner revolution, we have way better luck sticking to our resolutions. It has way more power. So when we decide to center our efforts on our new white stone identity, using our prayer practice to keep us focused, acting from our higher selves, that spiritual nourishment we need to get where we need to go will appear. So we're going to move into our ritual time, and we're going to get, I'm just going to tell you how it's all going to work first. We're going to get centered, and each of you can come up and collect a stone that calls to you. If you don't feel like coming up or that's not going to work, just this is the moment to ask someone near you to grab a stone for you. I suggest you lean towards the larger stones. If you pick one the size of this, you're going to have to write really little to get something on there, but there's plenty of perfectly big stones if you only pick one word, which is my suggestion. You know, you can find a word or two words that bring it all into one. Keep it simple. And you also need a pencil, and Mary Ellen has the pencils. There's not probably quite enough, but if you share with a neighbor, we'll be good to go. So, and then when you return to your seats with your stone and probably a pencil, we will continue the meditation and discovery of the new name. Okay? All right. So let's just take a few more a moment and close our eyes if that's comfortable and get centered back in to the Spirit of God within. Take a few deep breaths. And just without anticipating an answer, just open up to the question, what am I called to do this year? Who am I called to be? What is mine to do and be in this great world? And what is that foundational idea that will help me do that? And so with this feeling or this opening, this open space to feel this question, I invite you as you're led to come forth and feel the stone that calls to you. That calls to you with the power to be your touchstone for this year. And when you return to your seat, I just invite you to sit quietly, holding your stone in your hand. To just feel it. Or maybe you want to look at it and see the contours. Because this is a symbol, a reminder. We choose our stone, and as we hold our stone, we just feel that question. What is coming forth from me from the unwritten to be the written promise? What is to be my new name? Who am I called to be even greater? Take a deep breath. On this symbol of freedom, what new name, what word reminds me of my freedom? What new name What new idea reminds me of who I truly am and not who I've let go of? When you get it, when it becomes clear, when it's easy and feels deeply within you that you have found, yes, this is it, this is the word, you feel free to write it. And if it doesn't come clear just yet, it's okay. You can keep this stone in your pocket or somewhere close by and just wait in anticipation for the clarity, for the clarity and the wisdom of who, what is my new foundation? What is the foundation for me at this moment in this time that symbolizes my freedom and my new self? So we're just going to take a few more moments for you to contemplate or for you to write. And then as we move on through the close of our service, if it hasn't come to you yet, let that be okay. There's no judgment here. If it has come to you, just hold that in your heart. And as you go through your days and your weeks, let that be the reminder, the foundation. Come back to that. Oh yes, this is who I was going to be. This is who I'm called to be. Okay, I remember. And so as we go close this time and go about our weeks, just remember to let your heart lead. Let your new name come through your heart, not your mind. Your mind has lots of really great ideas, but let them be heart-centered. And so we give thanks for this opportunity. To have a spiritual groundedness in our new year, new year, new us. We're beginning a revolution of the heart and of the mind. A transformation that goes far beyond the first few weeks of January. But a reminder of who we truly are that lasts throughout our lives. For this opportunity, for this knowledge, for this wisdom, we give great thanks. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Mm-hmm.